Well, welcome everyone. This is Talking Luft, presented to you by Rafa. I'm Mitch Docker, and we have come to the end of the season. This is it. This will be our last episode for this year, but don't worry. We will be back early next year when the Tour Down Under begins. We're back with our normal episodes and some really exciting stuff. I'll tell you about that along the way. As things start to unravel, life in the peloton is going to bring you more exciting stuff next year. But for now, I want to say thanks to everyone because it has been a great season. Some fantastic episodes. I've really enjoyed some of the guests, some of the adventures, but most importantly, I've enjoyed your feedback. I love hearing what you like, what you don't like, and also what your suggestions are. So keep them coming in, and I'll try and bring you some really cool, interesting stuff next year. For now, we've got Talking Luft, and it's a little bit of a roundabout way I'm doing it this time. I've got Luke Plapp, the 2 times Australian champion. He hasn't been on the podcast yet. Well, he has been. He's been in as a feature in the Vuelta episode last year, but I haven't done a story on Plappy yet. And that is going to come to you next year in the season. But first, I wanted to give you a little snippet of Plappy because we're on the eve of the Australian Championships here in Australia. He's going to get ready to try and do the hat trick. Can you imagine? So I thought, God, I've got to get Plappy in before we go to the Nationals. Hear his thoughts before he maybe becomes 3 times champion. He's a really cool guest. He is a star in the making, if not already a star. Now, you've heard me talk about AG1 this year on the podcast in most of my episodes. And if you're a longtime listener, you would know I've been drinking AG1 for about 8 years now. I started drinking AG1 daily when I was racing overseas as a pro because I was looking for the marginal gains, making sure I had everything topped up to the absolute max. These days, I'm still taking AG1 because having the extra support that AG1 gives me is so necessary in my day-to-day life. As a nutritional supplement, I believe it's actually more important to me today than even when I was racing. I'm just not getting everything that I need from my diet. So I need to sort of make sure I'm topping everything up each day with AG1 first thing in the morning. What I also notice is when I drink AG1, not only does it help me top up my nutritional foundation, but it sort of gives me this extra natural general energy boost throughout the first part of my day. AG1 is a foundation nutritional supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, consistently refining their formula to create smarter, better ways to elevate your baseline fitness and, of course, your health. If you want to take ownership in your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go across to drinkag1.com/lifeinthepeloton. That's drinkag1.com/lifeinthepeloton and grab yourself some right before Christmas. Get it all topped up. Now, we're going to have a full episode next year with Plappy, so hang in for that. But for right now, we've got Talking Luft, so sit back, have a laugh, and enjoy. Luke Plapp, Talking Luft, mate, welcome.
Long time listener, first time potter.
Set up the scene, mate. Where are we sitting right now?
Greatest club in the world, in the Brunswick club rooms, overlooking the track with the big Brunswick logo. Pretty cold Friday morning in Melbourne, but nevertheless, yeah, where both of us started our careers.
Well, you're in your second year pro right at the end. Mate, tell me, what's the off-season been like? Do you even do an off-season anymore? Like, I think you guys like are ridiculous. Like, you just sort of have one day off maybe and then just get straight back into it. What's the off-season been like?
This one was a lot shorter than last year. Last year, I got to go to Africa for 6 weeks. This year, it was a lot shorter. I was just up at the farm in the high country, did a few hikes, just been camping and really just, I guess, getting back to nature. I was on the ride on mower and whippersnipping for a whole week. So I think from coming from Europe just to getting back into reality, I love it.
Everyone does their off-season different. Some people go on holidays. Some people just get on the piss the whole time. I'm maybe a little bit like you. I sort of like to, I say this all the time, earn my beer. So like doing a bit of activity, whether that was, you know, doing some gardening or maybe going for a cheeky run or something like that, and then just enjoying a nice cold one every afternoon. Was that, sounds like that's what you're up to.
Yeah, it definitely was. Yeah. I had the beer in the cup holder of the ride on mower and was just doing that for about 8 hours a day. So no, I was having a great time.
Well, just before we get to the Talking Luft, it's the preseason time and we're leading up to the Nationals. You're two times national champ on the cusp of going three times. Has it ever been done before, three times?
John Trevorrow.
Iffy.
And he lets me know about it every day. I get a text every day saying, oh, give me a buzz. And he just dropped it in.
So you still got two then. You got to do three and then you got to go four. It's like a Roubaix. Oh, okay. So tell me, what's the preseason look like? How are you going to prep for the Nationals? You know, and don't give away all your secrets, but in a general scheme, you're back on the bike now. What's it going to look like leaning into the Nationals?
A lot of base now, just in the mountains. And then, yeah, slowly work in December. Maybe a bit of track. As well in there, but yeah,
bit of track.
I really find it helps my TT stuff. I like that intensity. I think it's
down here.
Yeah, a bit of motor pacing. So yeah, I really just enjoy getting behind the motorbike on the track, a bit of fluency in the legs. So
road bike or track bike?
TT bike usually.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. I mean, like with gears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With gears.
Yeah.
With gears. My track bike's in Adelaide, but yeah, so I'll get a bit of that in as in the intensity. I just enjoy it. It's easier than clicking lap on your Garmin every 2 minutes on a mountain. So
each to their own, I guess.
Yeah. Come back down and do that. And then, yeah, there's no Bay Crits this year, which is a bit of a shame. So you don't get those few race days before the Nationals, but we-
You could do a Durbo. He in Girona used to recreate his own Bay Crits and go out-
Really?
Behind a motorbike and do an hour at Bay Crit pace.
Really?
Out near the factories where the EF service course is.
Oh, yeah.
So you could do a bakeries. I'm sure Derbs would be up for it. Hit him up.
We could get a few people organized. Although Derbs might be a bit busy this summer, but but I reckon we could get it. Cam would be our motorbike rider.
Sounds like hell. So what the way you like to prepare is sort of just get your base in, because I guess what a lot of people don't understand is, well, maybe they do, that the Nationals, yes, it is important. But you've still got a whole season in front of you with a lot of big goals and, you know, aspirations. It's got to play its part. You can't just peak for this. You've just come off a season. You've got to do an off season. You've got to do base. How does it work in? How have you been able to be two times national champ with all that? How do you make it work for that one day?
I think I managed to work in some like local crits or racing during my base training, which is just enough intensity to get you ready for Nationals.
Natural intensity.
Yeah. As well as the best race of the year, Tour of Bright.
That's just kicking off.
Yeah. Lock that in first week of December every year. So I think just, yeah, able to train and get those few occasional crits, whether you ride 2 hours to a Glenvale crit, race and come back. It's just an easy way to get 5 hours done with a little bit of intensity. And then you can slowly ramp it up towards Tour Down Under. You almost use Nationals as that final tune-up for TDU almost. So yeah, I think just being out of, we're really lucky with what we have here in Melbourne with the local crits and the racing, that you don't have to do those intervals or that mentally drain you for the whole year. You can just easily do a quick race, get that intensity and you're right to go pretty much.
Well, that's just sort of understanding like the power of the Australian summer, like especially for Aussie guys. And we often see a lot of guys, they go overseas and they're like, oh yeah, I just need to get back to Oz. You know, things are just clicking well and it's being able to use what we do here in this period and then using it for your season, but understanding what you get from Europe. Were there periods where you, overseas in the last couple of years where you're thinking, I don't know why, I just can't get that same feeling I get from the Aussie summer, or you've been able to master that over there as well?
I wish I could say I've mastered it. I definitely miss being home, whether it's just the happiness of being back in Oz or whether it's just knowing the training I can do in Australia or the racing. I just seem to get it going really well. I just love Australia and love being back, but we're slowly working that out. I think Girona is a really good spot in Europe to be able to get that sense of being able to train and have that balance. And then you can go up to Andorra or Altitude to fine tune, whether it's the base or an altitude block. So I'm working that out when I'm in Girona, when I'm in Andorra, and how to mix the two of them. I think in Australia, we're just lucky that it's all in the one spot.
Lastly, before we get into Talking Luft, for all the people listening out there, all the amateurs, all the aspiring sort of pros, can you give them one sort of piece of advice leading into the Nationals? What is it? I hear these people doing, you know, simulations. They go out and do like 16 ridiculous versions of, you know, the Nationals. They might even drive down there and just do 16 laps of the Nationals or find a course that's got it. I personally was like, that just sounds dumb. What is the secret sauce? Or, you know, not secret sauce, maybe not that. Don't give that away. What's one bit of advice you can give someone who wants to do well at the Nationals this year, maybe hang on for a lap more than they want to, or they're doing the Grand Fondo or whatever it is, what's something they can take on board? Plappy's tip.
Honestly, it's boring. It's just the nutrition and the cooling at Nationals. It's unlike any other race really in Australia or in the world, where the course demands and how hot it usually is. It's such an exciting race and it's You got people on the sidelines, there's people attacking, you can just get carried away. You just got to get that bottle every single lap and have that gel, and I think that looks after most people and stop cramping.
Well, let's get into the more interesting stuff now. Talking loft, style and clothing, mate. You know how this works, culture and about you. I've broken it down to three topics for you today. Let's start with it. Caps, capolinos, caskets. How do you wear yours? Well, wait a second. There we go. I've got a couple for you today. I've got a Talking Loft edition and I've got a... This one's got all... It's been under in the cupboard. Sorry, mate. It's got all dust all over it. All right. I'm watching here now. Okay. So, we've sort of got a mid-skull cap, mid-loft.
Yeah. Not much loft, but not hard on the head.
Forward, brim down.
Yep. Forward, brim down. That's how I have it when I ride.
Yeah. It looks good, mate. Yeah, I like it.
That's my style. I must say, I'm more of a cap person when you go up to team presentation. Mm. I go backwards cap at team prezo with the glasses on. But yeah, this is how I ride with it. Got the helmet tucked on nicely. I had one on this morning. It's a bit chilly, but yeah, this is my style.
What was the feeling like? Because I got blown away when I would first turn professional, and I, you know, as a junior and amateur or whatever it is, you've got like your one or two caps and you're protecting them and, you know, washing them by hand and stuff. And I remember I was pretty disappointed. People may have on the pod heard this story before. I was pretty disappointed when I got my kit back. I was like, the DS is like, what's up? Something wrong? Yeah, the kit's all good. Like, yeah, there's heaps of it. I'm like, there was no caps. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you know, the little cycling caps. He's like, oh, don't worry about that. You'll get one of the race. I'm like, oh, okay. And I get to the first race. I'm like, guys, where are the caps? Like it's the thing I've been looking forward to the most when I turn pro. Like, oh yeah, it's up there, like in that cupboard above the seat there. And I open it up and I'm just like, oh my God.
There's caps.
There's like 150 caps in here.
Yep.
And you just go to the podium, you wear your cap up there, you take it off, give it to a kid or whatever, and you're just like, now I feel pro. What was that like for you?
Yeah, it's cool. You don't realize how many. And they restock it, I think, every single night after a team presentation. Yeah. You just, yeah, grab a couple of caps, take it to the team presentation and make a kid's day, or on the occasion it's an old fella who thinks that he has the right to get it and you try avoid him to get it to a young kid.
If you could have raced back in the day without a helmet, what style would have been yours? What would you have done? You know, headband, no, shaved head maybe. You've got the shaved head at the moment.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I reckon I'd go one of those white Nike headbands, just like almost tennis style. I think I'd rate that with a shaved head.
Yeah, I think they were floating around before the teams made the headies. I think a few guys went the fluffy headbands.
Mm.
Yeah,
I reckon that'd be the sort of style I go, Leighton Hewitt sort of vibe, backwards cap maybe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, maybe that sort of style.
Baseball cap.
Yeah, baseball cap sort of style. Yeah, I'm thinking more Leighton Hewitt, that sort of vibe.
Would you literally wear a baseball cap when you're racing backwards?
I'd give it a crack, and whether it worked or not, I'm not sure, but I reckon the first day I would rock up with it.
Fair enough. All right, Plappy, the 2024 Federation University Road Nats around the roads of Ballarat and Buninyong is just around the corner. It's epic 5 days of racing, criterium, time trials, and of course, the big event, the road race, your favorite mate. Two times winner, going for three, Plappy, Luke Plapp. What makes it so good racing around Ballarat?
I think it is the famous Mount Buninyong, the crowds up there. As the day goes on, they have a few more sherbets and the atmosphere just gets brilliant. I love it. And you get a kick out of it every time.
So get down this year, guys. Come down on Saturday and ride the famous course in the Australian Cycling Grand Fondo, the National Championships. And you get to experience that iconic Mount Buninyong climb the pros are going to do the next day. Then on the Sunday, kick back on the side of the hill, have a cold beer and watch the elite men and the elite women's race. I certainly love being on the side of the hill these days. I didn't really love the Nationals because it's too hilly, too hard for me, but it's the best being on the side, as you said, Plappy, enjoying a few sherbets. This year, what are you looking forward to most? Trying to take out the third? Who's going to be the rivals? What's this feeling? You're feeling anxious?
I am. I'm excited. I got a few more teammates this year with me, which would be a bit more exciting, but I can't wait to get back. It's the last one. It's a special race for me, and it's been there for so long. So let's hope that we can make this last year in Ballarat the best one.
Mate, I'll hand you a beer on your last lap.
Good man.
Train in a sawn-off jersey, like a sleeveless jersey, or not? What's your opinion there?
It has been done before. It's also been done with no jersey.
Right. What, just bib and brace pulled up or tucked down?
Tuck them down and put the jersey just behind them.
Where have you done that?
Girona, unfortunately.
What happened? Did anyone call you out on it?
No, I was doing it with, Macy Stewart back in the day. We were going training. This was when I was the 2018, when I was there for Junior Worlds. Yeah, I think it was just sunny. The vibes were high. And that was my first time in Girona.
You weren't even pro and you're doing things like that.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I don't think I've done it since, to be honest.
All right. All-time favorite kit and team. So it can be a combination. You can go, I loved everything about it. For me, look, I'd say Map 8 because I love the kit. I love the guys in the team. They had like literally 60 riders on that team. It was just the boss team. But you could just go, you know what? Green Edge, I love that team, the original Green Edge, but I hated that kit. What is the best sort of kit and team for you?
Yeah, I was never, because I started cycling late, I never watched a whole lot of it when I was young or don't. I'm not really good at the history with it at all.
It could be a new team today. It could be EF. Love that Rafa kit.
The first kit I ever got was the original Green Edge kit. OG. That was the first
black
one I ever
Nicks,
had.
Super short Nicks those.
Yeah, with the spiky green sort of line through it. Yeah. So that was the first ever pro kit I had. I think Dad still rocks around in it. We've got both got one each.
Nice.
Yeah. So I reckon that's probably the way I'd go. I always looked up to Cam Meyer. So he was my idol growing up.
So Green Edge it is. OG Green Edge. All right, let's talk about culture. Favorite rider of all time. You may have already said it.
I think I would. I'd have to go Cam.
Cam.
Yeah.
Kamikaze gets it. I love that. Favorite rider right now?
I don't think you can go past Poggy.
Okay. Just
love the way he rides.
Yeah, he's pretty good. That is a good choice. Best moment in a race. That moment where you're just like, could be anything. Could be the neutral zone. Probably not. Could be the last kilometer where you get to the final Flamme Rouge. You're like, yes, I've made it. What is the best moment in a race for you?
I learned this when I was suffering through the Vuelta last year. It's when everyone's fighting for the break. Sometimes it goes for way too long and it finally goes, the road's blocked. You sit up and you just find your mates and chat to them for the next half an hour.
That moment's so good,
it's
isn't it?
It's the best moment. You're like, oh, thank God it's gone.
The worst in that moment I can imagine, is it's gone. Is the break gone? Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. Oh, I can't buy into it yet.
Not yet.
I can't buy into it yet because this is... You buy into it and all of a sudden you're like, you're relaxing.
Yeah.
And it goes again. You're like, no.
Yeah. Actually, a lot this year, I've been in charge of like making sure the brake's right. So, I've been on the front row, like looking around, making sure we fill the road with the right guys. once it's blocked, you make sure it doesn't kick off again.
Flip side, worst moment in a race.
Hilltop start. Or when you have to get on a turbo before the start because it's going to be a hilltop. I think that's... When you got to get to the start 15 minutes start. Early, warm up, be ready for it. You know it's going to be hell.
I can imagine you're not out the back. Like you still climb awesomely. So why does it still freak you out that? You're like from the track.
It hurts everyone the same. It hurts every. It's still the hardest thing you can ever do.
Yeah, because you never want to be in the last group, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, for me, I was more like, I don't even know if I can make the last group. So I was like, okay, I'm seriously shitting myself to stay in the race.
Yeah, true.
Favorite race of all time. Maybe it's a race you've done. Maybe it's a race you haven't done yet. What is the favorite race for you?
It's probably a bit cheesy or corny, but I just love the Australian Nationals. I really do. I think the atmosphere there or Wollonga stage at TDU. I just think both of them are close to my heart, but yeah, I just love the atmosphere that we have.
You'd be happy Wollonga's back this year.
Very happy. Very happy it is. But in saying that, I haven't done a classic yet. I've never raced a Belgium Classic, so I feel like I haven't experienced the whole vibe of Europe or even been a pro bike rider yet.
What about from the outside? Is it something you think you'll love? I'm talking about the classics now.
No, because the worst race I've ever done was Bingo Bongo and it this year.
The Bing Bang Tour?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can't compare.
Well, I never want to come back to Belgium ever again.
See, I love the classics, but I hated, you know, an Eco Tour, Bing Bang Tour. Yeah. Cobbles or gravel?
Jeez, that's a hard one. Cobbles.
Whoa,
I don't think I like either, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think either work for me, but I'm really against gravel at the moment, so I reckon I'd like cobbles. Don't know. I just haven't jumped on the bandwagon. You know that first where you haven't adapted the newest trend? You like still bag out the new trend? I just haven't got on board yet. Don't have a gravel bike. Don't have thick tires.
Well, the thing is, you're up in the high country training, and I live in the country now in Lancefield. There's not a whole lot of tarred roads in my area. There's not a whole lot of tarred roads in your area. And you sort of exhaust the roads after a while. That's where gravel's perfect. Like, I like the combination of having a gravel bike set up that still feels fast on the road.
Yeah.
That you can just go, you know what? I'm just going to cut through this dirt road today because I can't be bothered going all the way around the old loop.
Yeah, no, that's true. I was talking to the boys at the coffee shop the other morning and they were telling me about these new, well, you can go to the lookouts in Bright and look over the whole town, but you have to have a gravel bike to get there.
Mm.
So it did sort of convince me that I need to be able to explore my own town a bit better.
Well, you could probably squeeze some big tires in on that bike as we look across at yours. I reckon you can get away with it. Do that combo, like I said. All right, lastly, about you, are you an off-season guy or would you prefer just to go straight through?
Oh, major off-season guy. Need as long a break as possible.
You would have gotten big trouble if you had to said the other. Crosswinds or mountains?
Crosswinds. Love crosswinds. Well, just because I haven't missed one yet, that could change soon.
What about training? You just prefer to live up in Holland and just train in the crosswinds?
Training mountains. Take mountains any day of the week training. Yeah. You don't get much wind in the high country either, but yeah, racing, crosswinds.
Training or racing?
Racing. I'm a racer.
Coffee shop guy or not?
Depends what time of year I'm in, but definitely always have a coffee, whether it's mid-ride or post-ride, sort of depends where I'm in at the moment. But yeah, definitely coffee always.
What about December?
December's still coffee. Oh, December changes more to a servo stop, actually.
Oh, no. So, what time of year are you getting the full brew stop, mid-ride, park it up, get yourself a Boca Dio?
Yeah.
30 minutes later, order another coffee. All right, let's continue on. When are you doing that? Does that even exist anymore?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. November is when I'm doing it in Australia, where you park up for as long as you want. Then December is some more of, all right, let's refill at the servo or just get a servo meat pie. That's one of my things. And then in Girona, it's that sort of, as soon as I get over to Europe, go for those long rides and sort of build base again because you've already gone so hard for Australia. And then, when is it? August, September, when you start to get a bit cracked and you just need to park up for an hour at the coffee shop.
That's getting less and less. Less and less. You got to get those bike computers off there. What coffee do you drink?
A Magic.
Magic's all around, all day.
Love it. Or Batchies. I'm either a Magic or a Batchy or a filter kind of guy.
Well, explain to everyone out there who doesn't live in Melbourne what a Magic is, because it's a ridiculous coffee that's got a new name. I've got a question about, some coffee names in Melbourne.
It is a double ristretto, three-quarter latte, originated in Melbourne, only in Melbourne. And when you live in Europe for 8 months a year and you come back to Melbourne Airport and you go to the first coffee shop and can I have a Magic? It's just the best feeling in the world that they know what you're talking about.
Well, I didn't even know you could probably get them at the airport, can you?
Everywhere in Melbourne now. 2 years ago, no. Now it's, I'd say anywhere, almost in Victoria you go.
No way, not country Victoria.
You can, in Bright you can, but it's a lot more touristy.
Yeah.
But they're coming, they're coming.
And then batch brew the rest of the day.
Yep. Batches.
Okay, nice. Have you got a Mocha Master in Girona?
No, I've got a Chemex.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoy the technique, the pouring of the kettle and-
Do you take coffee on the races?
Always. Always massive for it.
Yeah, nice. What's your poison, mate? What's your drink of choice?
Beer.
Beer?
Beer.
What style of beer?
Into the crafties at the moment. A Pilsner, actually, is what I'm drinking a lot of at the moment. And then really enjoy just going down to my local brewery and trying always their new hazies that come out. But yeah, the Pilsner is my favorite at the moment.
What about overseas?
Go to Dos Kiwis a fair bit.
Mm.
Or the Soma beers.
Spanish crafties.
Yeah, Spanish crafties.
You're not getting into the Estrellas, the Red Army?
No, we're not on the Red Bombs. We have Alumbras, the green Berets. VBs. We have a fair bit of them. But yeah, crafties usually.
Favorite training loop of all time, that one loop out there. And explain the loop because people out there are going to know it. Tell us about it. Could be here, could be over in Europe.
I'll give you one for Australia, one for Europe.
Okay.
Europe is the Rupert Loop.
Oh, lovely loop.
Yeah,
someone know that.
So it's a massive loop with 2,500 meters climbing?
Oh, you'd have to remind me. I've got
a fair bit of climbing, very undulating.
But where do you start?
Girona.
And which way do you go?
I go St. Hilary first.
Right, that's reverse Rupert then.
Reverse Loop. That was Stuvenhoff taught me this. he showed me the way to go.
It's horrible though, that climb up from there. Why would you go that way?
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Because all the way from up to Rupert, practically, what's the town? I've forgotten it now. Vic.
Vic, yeah.
Yeah, Vic back up to, because you got to do that concrete climb.
Yeah.
Is that the way you do it?
That's why I like the concrete climb. It's, describe it to people. Imagine a cement truck has drove along this road with its spout pointing out and just doesn't know what it's doing. And it's just dropping concrete randomly for 10K. It's painfully horrible, but it's amazing. You get a bocadilla at the end. And then I like coming back that way because you just got the valley home.
Yeah, nice. You don't go right around to Olot?
No. I've done it once the long way, but I'm always too long.
I would almost just call that Rupert out and back then.
Maybe it is then. Maybe it is Rupert out and back. And then-
Aussie?
It's epic, but three peaks from Bright.
Oh, cool. Which is you head out from Bright straight up Hotham.
Straight up Hotham, down Dinner Plain into Omeo, back of Falls, which would go as the hardest climb in Australia, I'd almost say.
Big call.
Yeah, it's hard.
Can't be harder than Baw-Baw.
Yeah, it's similar to Baw-Baw, just because it's longer.
Yeah.
And where you are in the day, 35 degrees, 150K in. And then descend down Falls into up Toowonga and back into Bright. That's 250K, 4,000 metres.
How long does it take you to do that?
8.5 on an endurance day. Still a while.
It's a long day.
A long time.
Cool.
Just enjoy it. Get a good group.
War story, mate. What's that one day that you've had? You've only been pro for a couple of years. Could be before you're pro. You know, that one day where you're like, oh, this bloody day.
Stage 20 of the Vuelta. Queen stage.
So,
been in Gruppetto. Yeah, last year. Been in Gruppetto basically every day since. And in neutral, it was getting a bit fiery. The car was going a bit quick in neutral. And it started up a 15K climb. And me and Caden Groves got dropped maybe 100 metres before neutral finished. Straight into this climb. And it was just me and Caden.
Were you freaking?
I was the scaredest I've ever been in my life. And there's 5,000 metres to go in this day. And Caden looks to me and goes, it's going to be a long day. I said, well, mate, my teammates aren't coming back for me. I promise you that. So he called his whole team back. And we had Durbo, Lawson, Happy, all the boys just chopping off full. Well, they nursed us up this climb, took way too many risks on the downhill, and then we're in the valley the whole way after that. But it was the stage 20 of the Vuelta. It's like, you've made it this far. Like, you can't not finish
Did
now.
You think you weren't going to?
Yeah, my team said, if on the team bus before, they said it's the first time they've only ever said what time cut was for the team. Because it's like they don't usually have that problem. And they said, if you make it over the first climb, you'll be right. I got dropped before the first climb. And they said, well, we're going. So
lucky Caden was there, eh?
Yeah. So Caden serviced me. Those boys looked after me. We chopped off. We made it to the finish. And then the next day, I was in the breakaway in Madrid. And and Caden was up there as well. We came back, but that was the day that I thought it was all over. I thought, I'm not going to finish my first grandie.
Oh, no.
There's 160K with just me and Caden at this stage. But we had Durbo come back and pace us back.
Mate, we've all been there. I think one of my war stories, I didn't think I was going to finish. Stage 20, same thing, first grand tour, mate. Tell me, what's the cheat meal? Might have been after this. What's that one meal where you go, oh, you know what? I've been dieting for so long. That's it. I don't care. I'm having it today. What's that meal?
I wouldn't say it's a cheat meal because I have it way too often, but a Palmer. I just love Palmer and I miss it when I'm away so much. Yeah. So just
straight
come back.
Palmer?
Yeah, Palmer and pint. Palmer and, yeah, just come back straight to the pub, few pints. Palmer.
Tell us for anyone out there who doesn't know what a chicken Palmer is, what is it?
So it's a chicken schnitzel. You got your tomato paste, like your pasta tomato sauce on top with a layer of ham and then cheese grilled on top. And it is just the best meal in the world.
Yeah, but I've eaten much too many since I've been back in Australia. Best bike of all time. What's that one bike that you just love? I don't know. It doesn't have to be the fastest. Could be the fastest. Could be the best one. Could be just this one that connects with you. What's your favorite bike of all time?
I think it's probably the Surprise Giant Trinity I got that was custom painted for me after my TT win.
Cool.
I think that was just something. It was my first custom bike. It was the first race that I really targeted. And it was just a nice present that I got.
Lastly, mate. So far for you, what's the best thing about riding a bike? What's that one thing that you just love? You're like, oh, I just love riding bikes.
I think being out in the nature and being able to really connect, whether it's some days it's terrible head noise, but some days you just love it and it goes really quick. You're just in the most amazing places. I think that's why we're so lucky in Australia. It's such a beautiful place to ride, especially up in the hills. And you can get mates, you can go for chats, you can talk shit, you can finish at the brewery, you can go have a coffee. Yeah, it's just a really great way to connect. I'm really lucky that I can do it with Dad as well. And that's how I started and started going to coffee shops with him. I think it's just a great way to start as a young kid and it doesn't really stop. You've got your mates now when you're 30, 40, still going for rides and enjoying it just like you did when you were 15.
Awesome, mate. Well, there we go. Old Plappy, he is an absolute star and it's fun talking to him and I'm looking forward to giving you that full episode coming up next year. Guys, a big thanks to our partner this year, Rafa. I've really enjoyed working with them. Of course, Meg and Spurlo behind the scenes and Red Bricks Media, Will Jones, who is piecing these episodes together. You guys, once again, love that you're listening. Love that you're on board. Love hearing your feedback. I hope you guys are ready for a big season next year. Like I said, a few things are going to be added to the system. bringing you more great content and podcasts to listen to. So hang in for that. I'll be right there just after Christmas to bring you some episodes. Have a great break, guys. And until then, cheers. The music in this episode was composed by Pete Shelley. Cheers, mate.